Hello, I'm Eddie Merckx. Welcome to the VeloCast.
Everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of the VeloCast. My name is Scott.
And I'm a barely awake, John.
You have some excuse for that, though.
Well, no, but I had a fantastic day off. The weather here has been almost Tour de France in its glory. It's been a beautiful day in the Scottish Borders. So I did 50 miles on the road on Nobly tyres this morning. Caught the start of the stage and then 2.5 hours walking with the dog following the stage on my phone. So I'm in the bucket. I need some toast, a cup of tea and some sleep.
Well, you chose the better of the 2 days to get out on the bike. I was out yesterday where it was absolutely throwing it down, really, really gusty. And I'd been swimming in the morning with my significant other and child.
Dolphins? I don't know.
Swimming with dolphins, yes. That's the kind of life I lead. Anyway, back to some cycling. And what was the sixth French win at this year's Tour de France? Pierrick Federigo took stage 16 in a fantastic sprint on the run into Pau.
I love the finishes into Pau. Was it Martin Early, the kind of underrated big last Irish cyclist who won into Pau? And it's one of my favourite non-mountain finishes in the Pyrenees. You know, it's always a good stage and it's usually won from a canny breakaway. And today was no exception. I mean, it was possibly the most mental start to a mountain stage I've ever seen in my life. You know, the first 20-30k, it was carnage before it settled down into what we expected. And besides the fact that collies are no respecters of the Tour de France and need their walking or they eat your furniture, I would have been sitting down in front of the telly for the entire stage.
Well, as you say, yes, it was carnage at the start, and I thought, oh, we're in for a cracker today. It's going to be, you know, like yesterday, drama and thrills and spells all the way. But it did seem to settle down, I think, once we got to the Tourmalet and the break that eventually decided the stage took shape with one Lance Armstrong being involved in it, which kind of answered the question that we've all had for the last week or so. Was Lance soft-pedalling all the way to Paris, or was he going to try and get himself into a break for a stage win?
Well, you see, here's the thing. I kind of wanted him to win. I know it's bad and it's a guilty secret and stuff, but I was rooting for Lance.
Am I going to have to start singing John and Lance sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G here? This is disgraceful, well, Galloway.
I was biting hard on the fanboy tool this afternoon.
No, actually, in fairness to you, I know exactly what you mean. It would have, regardless of what you think of him, it would have been nice to see him take a stage today. Although I have to kind of think, when he finds himself in the position of being off the Col d'Aubisque at the end with, what, 8-9 other guys, he must surely have been thinking, why am I here? There's no way I can take a sprint against these folk.
Nah, so that. What he should have been thinking was, I'm a multimillionaire. I wonder what their price is. In that classic, you know, Jan Ulrich rubbing his finger and thumb together to Richard Varrock on, you know, the climb to Arcalis. There's a long history of people buying stages, and I was sure that Johan Bruneel would be on the phone with his credit card number to all the other DSs.
Well, given the rumours that are abound at the moment regarding payments to other riders for stuff not related to cycling itself, I think it probably have been unwise for Lance to be making thumb and forefinger rubbing together gestures at anybody today.
But as, you know, as Lance himself said, you know, what was it, 95? He said, pas de cadeau, no gifts. And there weren't gifts today. And Federigo, he took the stage in a really good gallop, considering how long they'd been out there. Armstrong himself made a decent effort. But, I mean, Barredo, I thought he'd get away. You know, he broke away with, what, 40k to go or something?
Yeah, I think it was 44 kilometres to go. And I thought, well, here's a tough job. One guy staying away of a chasing group of eight on very, very long straight roads. I mean, they could see him for, I think, probably the majority of that 40 kilometres.
Well, his breakaway skills are clearly superior to his ninja bike wheel skills.
Someone tweeted earlier on how ironic it would be if he this is before he obviously took off ahead, how ironic it would be if he won by a wheel today.
I tell you, the other thing is Christophe Moreau was in the break with Armstrong, and talk about old glories, good for a final hurrah. But he, before Barredo's rather embarrassing incident after the finish line, was part of the most embarrassing bitch slapping whilst on a bike I've ever seen. People just shouldn't fight on bicycles.
I mean, you think about it, you've got Lance Armstrong in there, Christophe Moreau and Sandy Cazar. You would imagine there's going to be like tartan shawls and slippers awaiting
a bath chair
awaiting them at the end of the stage.
Anyway, to get back to the point, because we're clearly both knackered and waffling a bit today, no big changes in the GC after yesterday. The French were once again booing Bert, but to be frank, I did a lot of chatting on Twitter today about Chaingate, and I'm kind of bored with it now. So I think, rather bizarrely, Fat Man on a Bike, who's well known for his juvenile and frankly obscene tweets, had a really mature tweet where he just said, let's move on and enjoy the racing. And that's what I advocate we all do. And Burton and Andy Schleck appear to have kissed and made up, and Bert did a wee kind of video in his hotel room last night.
Yeah, what kind of video are we talking about? Because Spanish midget porn isn't really what I'm into.
I don't know. Well, he apologised nearly.
Oh, right, okay.
It was the classic, if I did something wrong, I'm sorry, but I don't really think I did. I mean, there seemed to be wide acceptance of what he did. So, I mean, although I'm offended, and lots of people are, he's got away with it, and that video, it's made a difference. What actually I thought was even more disgraceful about yesterday's stage and didn't come out until later was our favourite hemorrhoid sufferer Jean Gadre's behaviour.
Yes, sticking with fair play and angry riders, and this is a story we kind of miss because of all the drama with Schleck and Contador. Nicholas Roach is furious with his AG2R teammate Jean Gadre. The Frenchman not only refused to stop and give Roach, who is his team leader, a wheel during yesterday's stage, but then went on to attack.
Well, piles make you grumpy. I mean, let's be blunt. And he's probably full of embarrassment with those brown shorts anyway. But let's forget ethics. I mean, because yesterday, the Contador thing, I'm happy to admit, was a matter of opinion. I mean, my opinion was he had no class at all and was a bit of a bastard. But other people are perfectly at will to disagree with that, because there's no hard and fast rules laid out.
Yeah, it's an etiquette thing rather than...
Yeah, it's an etiquette and an ethics thing, and as such it's open to debate. Gadre, though, is paid to give his wheel to his team leader when he needs it, and he didn't do it. You know, he let down one of the first rules of the domestique, you know, that you support your team leader, and he let down his team, and he didn't do what he's paid to do. And as a result, Nico Roach, who I think has come out as a really classy rider this year. I mean, I was talking on Twitter to Sprinting for Signs, Rich, and he said he thinks Roach should go to a team who will support him properly. I couldn't agree more. You know, he deserves better than AG2R. And as a result of that betrayal by Gadre yesterday, he's three or four places lower than he should be, and that's just wrong. You know, he tweeted, or he said in his thing in the Irish Independent, rather, If Jean Gadre's found dead, I'm the principal suspect.
Yeah.
Can't argue with
him. No, you can't at all. He also went on to say, he sat behind me on the team bus and I had great difficulty not putting his head through the nearest window.
Yeah, but that's cyclist fighting and that's always embarrassing, so it was good he avoided it.
I mean, well, just to explain, if anyone didn't see it, I actually saw the incident itself where the camera cut to Nicholas Roach and he was desperately fighting to get a wheel on, and I think Paul Sherwin, who was commentating, said that's the longest front wheel change I've ever seen. But that completely missed the real drama, the real incident where Gadre had basically ridden past his team leader and
tad insult to injury. He then bloody attacked.
He then attacked, yeah, with a group that was 5 minutes ahead on the road and had no hope of catching them. So there was no way he was going to win the stage. But Roach himself said, He saw him go past and let him know he was having a mechanical and asked for his front wheel, and he just looked at him and said, no. And he thought at first he was joking before just riding off. He said, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And eventually had to get a wheel from the neutral service car. Apparently, meanwhile, the team manager is screaming down the radio for Gadry to wait and completely ignores that as well.
I'd be giving him a good kicking.
Well, I mean, just to kind of defend, I mean, I know you're absolutely right in saying that, that Nicholas Roach deserves a better team. But in kind of defence of the team, apparently the team manager, well, we've heard there that was screaming down the radio at him, also gave him a verbal kicking on the team bus as soon as he got back as well. So I wouldn't like to kind of paint this picture that the whole of AG2R is against Nicholas Roach. But
oh no, far from it, far from it. I mean, but I think he deserves to step up to one of the premier teams. You know, he's shown enough class. AG2R, I mean, all power to them. They've overperformed themselves, you know, with the stage win this year and that kind of thing. But I think Roach deserves to be in a first-string team as opposed to... Actually, it's easy to see a second-string French team, but the French are having a bloody awesome tour. He deserves to be in one of the big teams. And I'd like to see that happen next year. Although his dad's reading the yesterday stage was plumb wrong, but we'll leave it at that.
You be careful. You be very careful. You're messing with gods here. Obviously, we've got the rest day tomorrow. And I think we should maybe have a wee look ahead at what's to come on Thursday.
First, I mean, today was meant to commemorate Merckx's famous exploit over those four hills in 69.
Yeah.
Do you think they pulled its teeth with a long run into the finish?
Well, see, I was questioning the wisdom of, even when I looked at the stages in advance of the tour, I was kind of questioning the wisdom of such a long drag to the finish after the final climb. And, I mean, you're talking about what the four most famous climbs are just about in tour history, and it basically just got nullified.
I mean, after the incredibly exciting start, the peloton more or less looked like they were out for a long training run.
I mean, yeah.
Actually, I mean, the other thing we should mention is Tor bloody Hushovd. What a fantastic ride today.
Well, absolutely, but I think that speaks to the fact that if Tor Hushovd can sit with the peloton going over the Tourmalet, that the entire, you know, the peloton just wasn't interested in doing anything at all. And other than the fact that Lance Armstrong found himself in the break, the vast majority of today was about as interesting as a Christopher box set.
Yeah, and that's, well, I quite like Christopher. He's got lovely eyebrows.
Now,
that's not true, by the
given,
way. That's complete shit,
now,
by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, given that people have taken to quoting us verbatim on the forum, which scares the bejesus out of me. I mean, look, folks, seriously, we make this up as we go along here. And I don't expect any of this to ever come back and haunt me. Please stop doing that.
I tell you what, the other thing that really scares me in this particularly freeform episode today is people have been doing drawings of us to celebrate the 100th show yesterday. You seen them?
No, this is, I'm now very frightened.
Oh, there's four or five of them. It started with Rich Mitch did one of me in a tutu.
See, this is the problem with care in the community. These people should just be, you know, allow them the crayons, but in a padded cell. Don't let them loose. Anyway, getting back to the plot and neatly sidestepping the issue of people doing very, very disturbing drawings of us. What's your thoughts on what's going to happen after the rest day?
Carnage is the answer. I've got the feeling that Schleck is fighting for his life to get in the podium now. He's got limited amount of time. I mean, you know, the big stage at the finish, he's atop the Tourmalet, is his best chance, in fact his only chance to gain proper time before the time trial. Menchov looks really strong. Contador, I mean, he looks strong, and he's, you know, he's ahead now. He has to be behind if Schleck's going to stand a chance. So everything's to play for, and we've got to see Saxo, you know, pull their finger out and really, really push it. And I think we'll see some surprises. So the rest day is always exciting because some people, you know, their legs lock up after the rest day. So other people recover really well. I'm not bored with this tour yet. It's been great.
No. Has anyone actually looked at the weather forecast for Saturday?
Well, I haven't Peebles, I haven't for the Pyrenees.
For Bordeaux, because that would make for a very interesting time trial if the heavens open.
Well, I mean, our chum James Tolson's there as well as, you know, a goodly number of listeners, so we should have some folk by the roadside. I'm not going to make it because I can't get the time off, which I'm really peed off about, actually, because I had a cheap flight lined up and some really good accommodation. But it should be a worthy finish to the tour, and it's not as flat as everybody thinks.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening and staying subscribed. You can contact us by visiting our website at velocast.co.uk, where you can also find out how you can donate or subscribe to the show. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider leaving a comment or review in iTunes, as this really helps with other people discovering it. Well, I hope you can join us for the next edition of the Velocast.